When I came here, I had planned to get started on Friday night, stay Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and take down on Sunday night. Now, I know that's not the usual procedures with tent meetings. Betty and I, we used to have our meetings about 3 weeks and sometimes a month. If we went to a church, we stayed 2 or 3 weeks. But then the Lord changed it around and we tried to follow His leadership and everything, and we started to having our meetings from 3 days to a week, 7 days, sometimes 8 days, and that's usually what it ranges. And I had planned to go about 3 days. But anyway, we're planning to take the tent down, and the meeting will end tonight. I know you have to stay in a place at least a week, 2 weeks to really get a meeting going, but we didn't come here for that purpose. We came here for revelational purposes. And just whosoever come out during that time, to welcome them and be thankful for what we can do and our reason for being here. So then I'm grateful for you. I'm very thankful that you're here. We want to welcome you here. And we're very grateful for all of them that have come as far as from Monroe to be with us. Now, if you've got your Bibles, I'd like to read just a little bit from the Book of St. John, the 16th chapter. I'd like for you to read with me. First, we read in the 15th chapter, the 16th verse, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me." He tells us in the 26th verse, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye shall also bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou?" Reading in the 8th verse, "And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believed not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will shew you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall shew it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall shew it unto you." And then we read in the 20th verse, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. And your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name, ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall shew you plainly of the Father." You know, Jesus was constantly speaking to the people in Proverbs. God being a spirit, it has always been God's way down through the years to speak to people through types and shadows and allegoric means. Or that is, God who is a spirit, God who cannot be seen by natural eyes, God who searches for ways to manifest himself to human sight, God, the great invisible God, the great spirit, has always sought to make himself known to his people by means of types and shadows or allegories, or that is, God has always spoken to his people through proverbial means. God still today speaks in Proverbs. Even Jesus in the New Testament, here he is speaking to his disciples, and you find Jesus saying that I speak unto you in Proverbs, but someday I shall speak to you plainly, and then it shall be no more a proverb, but ye shall know plainly of what I'm trying to tell you. And you know, this is the beautiful thing about serving God, is God has so concealed himself that the greatest scholars of today have never discovered God. You know, no man has ever seen God at any time. That's some thought, isn't it? No man has ever seen God at any time. But the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, hath declared the Father. He dwelleth in the bosom of the Father, and he hath declared the Father. Scientist tells us that no man has ever seen the light. Oh, how much likeness there is in what scientist says about light and what the Word of God says about God. Scientists say that you can see the objects of light and you can see everything that light makes manifest, but you cannot see light, and that no man at any time has ever seen light. And the Bible says that God is the great light, under which no man can approach, whom no man has seen, nor can see. Jesus Christ alone dwells in that light. So then the only way that we can ever see God is through the Word of God. In that Jesus is the Word of God, the Son of God, the only way that we can see God, the great light, is through the Word of God. Through the Son of God. For in the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And the Bible said the Word came forth, put on flesh, dwelt among us. And we beheld it as though it was the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. So then Jesus Christ is God's Word made flesh. Jesus came forth, the Word of God, that was in the bosom of the Father, came forth, put on flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld him as the Son of God. So then when we think of the Word of God, we think of the knowledge of God. When we think of the knowledge of God, we think of the mind of God. When we think of God, realizing we cannot see God with our natural eyes, then we say within ourselves, how then shall I ever know God? How then shall I ever see God? The Bible said the pure in heart shall see God. So then we who are natural minded, the first thing that we think of is, Brother Pike, we're going to see God. You may say that no man has ever seen God, but there's one thing about it, we're going to see God. But see, I didn't just say that no man has ever seen God. I said no man hath ever seen God, nor shall ever be able to see God. You understand what I'm saying? So then no man has ever approached unto the great light. No man has seen God at any time, nor can see God. It isn't a matter of whether someday you're going to see God or not. You're not going to see God except through the Word of God. God is the great light, and the only way that God can be seen is through the divine eyes of understanding, through the mind of Christ Jesus. God cannot be seen with human eyes. God must be comprehended by the spiritual mind of Christ.
We must see God through the understanding of our eyes of understanding. The Bible said that our eyes of understanding being enlightened, that we comprehend the heights, we comprehend the depth, we comprehend the width, we comprehend the length, the Bible tells us. And so then to see God, we've got to come into a spiritual mind. We've got to come into a spiritual revelation. If we ever expect to see God, we're going to have to get faith in God and purify our hearts by the Word of God. They say, why do you say purify our hearts by the Word of God? Because the Bible says that God purifies our hearts by faith, and that faith cometh by the hearing of the Word of God. So then the only way to purify my heart is by the Word of God. Now you say, well, Brother Pike, we must purify the heart by faith. The faith is the means by which the Word comes and purifies the heart. Why then do you say the Word? Because in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. And God is the Spirit. And God is the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth that I send, Jesus said. The great Spirit of truth. I will purify your heart by the great Spirit of truth. Through the means of faith, I, the great Spirit of truth, will come into your hearts and purge your hearts, purify your hearts, sanctify your hearts, and then you can see God. The world today doesn't see God. Now you say, Brother Pike, how can you be so sure that the world doesn't see God? I know that they don't see God because the Bible teaches that no man can see God and live. No man can see God and sin. The Bible said if you sin, you've never known God. You've never seen God. For when a person sees God through the eyes of his understanding, he immediately dies in the outer person. The old man is dead. The new man comes forth. And then he begins to comprehend the truths of God, and he begins to manifest the Spirit of Christ, and his entire life begins to be rearranged. I know by that, that some of them under the tent here has never seen God. I know by that that many people in the world have never seen God. And I know by that that many hundreds of thousands of people will never see God. But I want you to know tonight that there is a way to see God. But it must be through the eyes of Jesus Christ. There is a way to see God tonight. But it must be as those that are pure in heart. If I am to behold God tonight, I am to be pure in heart. There is a translation for the church. But I say this reverently, respectfully tonight. It doesn't matter what you've been taught. That's your business. I don't know your preacher. I'd love to know him, but I don't know him. I don't know what he's taught you. But the thing is, I'm here to preach the Word of God. I'm not favorable to any doctrine except the doctrine of Christ, which is the Word of God. But I want you to know tonight that there are hundreds of thousands of people across the world today, religious people, that are waiting for something to happen to them that's never going to happen to them. According to the Holy Word of God, it'll never take place the way that they're looking for it. But there's something that God has ordained that should happen to the saints of God and will happen to the saints of God. But it must happen according to the Word of God. Hallelujah. You love Jesus? All right, we're here in Marysville tonight for a reason. What is that reason? Because there is a great spiritual happening. The thing takes place here in Marysville. It has to do with Marysville. You know, the great thing about this revelation is that it takes in the entire world and the entire universe. Great and mighty things are taking place. When we went into Israel, something took place. When we went down into South America and Central America, it had a great spiritual significance. And here we are in Marysville tonight. Why are we here tonight? Because God is doing something. God is doing something special in Marysville tonight. And I'm glad that I'm here. I'm glad that I can see tonight. I'm glad that God has given me eyes to see, that I can see what God is doing tonight, because I have a desire to know what Christ is doing. I want to understand what God is doing. I wouldn't give you 15 cents to know what the football game is doing. I don't pay any attention to the radios. They can have the Lions to win, or the Bears to win, or the Cubs to win. I wouldn't give you 15 cents to know about all of it. I'm not interested in what baseball team's going to win. I'm not interested in the Olympics. I want to know what God is doing. The thing that I'm interested in tonight is to know about my soul, to know about the future. You know, the Bible tells us that the children of Israel sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. Did you know the entire world today is playing? They've gotten into a game. It's got to be one game or another game. They start this game and another game and another game and another game and another game. And they get the races, and they get the football teams, and they get the basketball teams, and the churches are doing the same thing. And they've forgotten about God. Can't you just picture Elijah joining the best football team? Couldn't you just see Paul being the coach of the best basketball team? Somebody say, I love Jesus. Now you say, Brother Pike, I think you're getting a little bit out of order. I think you got a little bit out of order, and I'm here to set you in order. That's what the preacher's for, is to set the church in order. Can't you just picture Jesus coming forth? And tonight he tunes in the TV, or he tunes in the radio, because he wants to know what the Olympics are doing. Can't you just picture Jesus doing that? Can't you just picture Father Abraham coming along and saying, let's go down to the races tonight. We need to relax a little bit, and then we'll get back to this religious affair. Can't you just picture that? Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I think that's absurd. But it's no more absurd for Abraham to do it than it is for a son of God to do it. I want you to know tonight, they that belong to the church, they're supposed to be sons and daughters of God. If God isn't going to do it, why are you doing it? Somebody say, amen. Hallelujah. I said, if Abraham wouldn't do it, what's the church doing it for? What's the church need with a basketball game and a football game? What we need to know about is God. Hallelujah. Can't you just picture the angel as he come down to talk to Daniel and said, thou great man of God, you're such a noted basketball player. Can't you just picture that? Oh, he was fasting, he was praying, he was seeking God, calling on the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That makes me feel like shouting, John. I'll tell you tonight, when you get God in your heart and when you get concerned about the things of God, you won't have to have the world for a substitute. You know why the churches is putting in football and basketball and pool tables and everything else? Because they've lost God. That's why they're doing it. They don't have the Spirit of God in the church anymore. And they've got to keep the minds of the people occupied so they can get money to support the cause. That's where the problem is. Glory to God. The Bible said the world will hate you. The world will hate you. Why is it the world doesn't hate the church tonight? Somebody say, I love Jesus. I said, why is it that the world doesn't hate the church tonight? Why is it that the world isn't against the church tonight? Because the church has joined the world. The church has joined the world. The church dresses like the world. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I'm going to preach it anyway. Hallelujah. I said the church is joined up with the world, and they do just like the world, and you can't tell them apart anymore. Praise God. Like a young fella said not too long ago over in Atlanta, Georgia, he said, I want to be a Christian. He was going to give his all to be a Christian. He was willing to get in and just do anything. And somebody said, well, you need to leave off with the baseball games. He said, oh my. He said, if I have to do that, I'll never make it. I'll never make it. He wanted to give his all, but he wanted to give all he wanted to give. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What we need tonight is Christ. What we need tonight is the knowledge of God. You can't see Christ except you be pure in heart. You can't be pure in heart unless you have God's Word. It's going to take God's Word to do that. If I have God's Word, I can get pure in heart. If I don't have God's Word, I can't get pure in heart. But brother, tonight I want to be in pure in heart.
The Bible said the world will hate you, and I tell you, if you live like God, if you live like God ordained that you live, God's word can't be broken. They're going to hate you, and they're going to break ties with you. They're going to sever their ties with you. They're not going to esteem you, and they're not going to lift you up because you're not part of them. But I'll tell you what, if you'll get out there and you'll be a jolly good fella, you'll be one of the world's kind. And the world will flock around you, and they'll lift you up, and they'll magnify you, and you'll be their best fella. Amen. Out of one corner of their mouth, they'll talk about God. And out of the other corner of their mouth, they'll curse. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I picked up the papers the other day. Jimmy Carter talking out of one corner of his mouth about God. And out of the other corner, cursing. God doesn't do things like that. The Bible said good water and bitter water don't come forth from the same fountain. I looked down at the bottom of the page, and there was a judge cursing. Years ago, they wouldn't have let him put it on the market. What's wrong? We need to lift our voice up like a trumpet and show the world of their sin. Tell them of their wrongs. Glory to God, if the preacher would stop being weak-kneed and like jellyfish in the backbone, we'd be all right. Glory to God, he's afraid he'll lose his paycheck. That's what's wrong with him. I said he's afraid he'll lose his little crowd. That's what's wrong with him. He can't have his little cows. I'd rather go to work somewhere digging ditches. Amen, than to be a hypocrite. Glory to God. I feel better. Let's go on talking about this good old way. Hallelujah. Let's go on talking about the Lord. Praise God. What we need to do is sever our ties with the world, folks. We need to get away from the world. I don't belong to the world. The world doesn't love me because I don't belong to the world. If you belong to the world, the world's going to love you. Because the Bible said the world loveth its own. But if you get away from the world isn't going to love you. The Bible said the world will hate you because they will see Christ in your life. Not only will they hate you, but the Bible said someday they'll kill you and feel that they do God a service in killing you. There's going to come a time when they'll literally kill you and feel good about it, feel religious over it. Did you know today, sinners won't kill you as quick as church people will? Somebody say amen. We might have some church folks here tonight. But I said sinners won't kill you as quick as church people will. Church people will kill you. They'll destroy your name. They'll do anything they can to get rid of you. Wasn't it the Pharisees and scribes that gave Jesus the trouble? Didn't he say be hot or cold? Wasn't it the lukewarm that gave him his problems in the day when he walked the earth? Always church people. It's the same today. See, it's the same thing today. The one that gives me my trouble is church folks. The one that will give you your problems is church people. But I'll tell you what, a Christian won't never give you no problem. Why is it that they're not driven out of the synagogues today? Tell me, why is it that they're not driven out of the synagogues today? The Bible said in that day they'll drive you out of the synagogues for my name's sake. Why is it? You know why it is? Because they don't dare to lift up the name Jesus. Somebody say amen. They'll say glory to God and hallelujah and praise you, Father, and amen and everything else. But they don't want to talk about the name Jesus. You know why? Because devils go every which way when you start talking about the name Jesus. When you start praising the name Jesus, devils have to get up and go. That's why they don't talk about the name Jesus. They'd lose a lot of their tithers. They'd lose a lot of their money men, a lot of their money women. Glory to God, if they preached old time holiness the way the Bible teaches it, they'd lose some of their congregation. I told a man out in Colorado years ago, I said, man, you need to preach old time holiness. He said, Brother Pike, if I preached the way you said preach, I'd lose half of my congregation. I said, ain't that what it's all about, separating the sheep from the goat? What are we trying to do anyway? That's what it's for. Glory to God, let me tell you something, folks. It's going to take old-time holiness to get to heaven. Did you know that? The Bible said God is the Spirit of holiness. I know they call the Pope His Holiness. But I want you to know tonight, the Pope ain't His Holiness. Did you know that? It's going to take holiness. Glory to God, you're going to have the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, well, I think I can get to heaven on faith. I'll tell you what, you try it. The Bible said, if you have not my spirit, you're none of mine. You can believe all you want to, but the Bible said you can believe a lie and be damned. That's the trouble with the world today. Preachers are hollering, get saved by faith, get saved, get saved. But the Bible said, faith without works is dead. You're going to have the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, my God, we done got in the midst of a bunch of holiness people. Show the world you have. And I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Amen. That's what we need. We need holiness people. You say, Brother Pike, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the people that own this world, that God gave it to them lock, stock, and barrel. You say, I'm Baptist, I'm Methodist, I'm Catholic, I'm Presbyterian. That's good. I think we've got about 5% Jews in the United States, and we've got about 2% the Eastern Orthodox. We've got about 2% of the other kind of religions, about 36% Catholic, and about 55% Protestants. But I didn't read nothing about holiness, folks. I wonder how many holiness people we got here in America. Glory to God, we don't need Catholic. We don't need Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian. We need God, and we need holiness. That's what we need. We need holiness. It don't make no difference what kind of name you got on your door. The Bible said in that day they'll have a name that they live, but they're dead. Jesus said twice dead and plucked up by the root. Why is it they're not driving you out of the synagogue? Because you're conforming to their ways. That's why. You're doing their evil ways. That's why. You're doing the thing they want you to do. That's why they're not driving you out. But I'll tell you what, you stand for holiness and you dress holy. You talk holy. You live holy. You have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. You talk about the name of Jesus. And glory to God, they'll get rid of you pretty quick. And I'll tell you something else. Some of your so-called Jesus name churches, somebody say, I love Jesus. You talk about holiness a little bit in there, and they'll lose their sanctification too. Yes, sir. Glory to God, you come to town and see if they back you up, see if they stand with you. But I'll tell you what you do. Go out there and join the organization and see if they don't come and stand with you. Somebody say, amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now don't get upset. We're just preaching holiness, that's all. Somebody said, my, what a strange message. This is the way all of them used to preach. I guess it's like the papers in Atlanta, Georgia, when they give us that write-up, said Brother Pike's the last of the old-time holiness preachers. I guess it must be, if that's the way it is. I don't feel by myself, you know. I feel like there's some more in the world somewhere. I feel like God's got some more here in Tennessee. Maybe they'll show their head if I stay around a while. But there's one thing about it. I'm one of them. I might not be the last of them, but I'm one of them. I believe in holiness. I believe that we got to live according to godliness. And I believe if we're going to get to heaven, we're going to have the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, well, I just feel like if we believe, I tell you in the name of the Lord, you can believe all you want to. But if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you're going to hell. Somebody said, Brother Pike, if I believe, I'll go to heaven whether I have the Spirit or don't have the Spirit. I don't believe that. I don't believe there's going to be anybody in heaven that's got, you know, walking around up there that's just got faith and ain't got God's Spirit. I believe faith is for the purpose of getting God's Spirit. I believe that's why God gave faith, so that faith could bring you God's Spirit. Somebody said, but I got faith, but I just never did get the Spirit. My brother, you never did get faith. Come on now. Somebody said, but I believe, Brother Pike, you believe a lie and be damned, the Bible said, having strong delusions. I'm talking about the faith of Christ by which you're sanctified. The Bible said, contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints of God. I'm talking about the faith that God gives. Brother, when you get the faith of Christ, you get the Holy Ghost. He said over there in the Acts of the Apostles, he said, you repent of your sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and your children, and as many as be afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That takes in me and you and everybody else that the Lord God calls. Amen. I've said this a lot of times. When they left Egypt and they got out in the wilderness, they didn't have colleges and they didn't have hospitals and they didn't have all the modern machinery of today. But history shows that they built a commonwealth that was a great outstanding thing in the wilderness by the leadership of God. And the Bible said God healed them and kept them well. That their feet didn't as much as swell on them.
For 40 long years, God fed them. God looked after them. God took care of them. Why? Because they had faith in God. And today, if we had faith in God, we wouldn't be having all these wars. If we had a president up there that prayed out of both ends of his mouth instead of cursing out of one end and praying out the other end, we'd have God. If we had congressmen that had enough backbone to stand up for what they need to stand up for. And if we had American people that would take a backbone and stand up and say, we're not going to have such thing in the White House. We're going to do what God tells us to do. But folks, we can't stand up in our own local community. Somebody say amen. They run your children through schools like a herd of cattle and make them dress out like a bunch of ballet dancers. And somebody says, well, I'm holiness, but what can I do? You can raise up your voice and be a man and tell them that they're not going to do that. Somebody said, well, they'll put me in jail. They did Paul too. Isn't that something? I said, they did Paul too. Kept him in there for a long time. Glory to God, what we need to do is stand up and trust God to get us out of there. If we'd stand up, we could do something. Folks, I think we strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Boys go over on the battlefield over yonder and they fight. They lose their lives. They spill their blood. And some of the men that stay here and some of them that even come back that fought, that didn't get killed, won't even take enough backbone to stand up here and put people in their place and have a good old-fashioned way of life. Praise God. We need to stand up for something that's right. The Bible said the saints of God would rise and take the kingdom. Do you believe it? Somebody said the black's going to get it. The black ain't going to get it. Somebody said, well, I'm afraid the Japanese is going to get it. They ain't going to get it. Somebody said, well, them Germans, they're intelligent. They're going to get it. They're not going to get it. How can he do it? I've already got it. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Hallelujah. The Bible said all things are yours, and I accepted it. Hallelujah. The Bible said the saints of God shall rise and take the kingdom of God and possess it forever and ever. Somebody say, yes, but that's the kingdom of God. But it didn't just say that. It said, and the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God. It means we're going to take the kingdoms of this world and take the kingdom of God too. And all of it's going to be one great kingdom. Hallelujah. That's why I like holiness. That's why I like Holy Ghost preaching. Hallelujah. I feel better now, don't you? I feel better now. I believe that we need to do something for God, folks. I believe we need to be a testimony for God. I tell you, we got a lot of courageous people in the world. We got men and women that's got backbones like a saw log. But you know what's happened? The devil has got them cowered down and backed off in a corner somewhere and got them afraid to raise their voice. And they say, what can I do? I'm all by myself. I want you to know tonight that you're not all by yourself, and if you'll stand up and take the right step for God and be a real man or woman for decency and for something, God will stand with you, and God will send somebody to stand with you. God will do something for you. But you're going to have to show your face and let somebody know that you're standing for something. Somebody would say, well, I would, Brother Pike, but I'm so embarrassed. I'm afraid I'll be all alone. Well, I tell you what, you might get your picture in the paper. All you got to do in the day we're living in is be an oddball and you get your pitch in the paper. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God, I can go to town with a tent and they don't give me a write-up in the paper. But I tell you what, if my tent gets blowed down, they give me a write-up in the paper. I've had it to happen. You love Jesus? Praise God. The devil trying his best to triumph over God. Don't you know tonight that we've got the victory in Christ? Don't you know that we're sons and daughters of God tonight? Don't you know that we're bound to triumph tonight, that we're going to take the kingdom and possess it tonight? Don't you know that this world don't have power to prevail against us tonight? You say, Brother Pike, do you actually believe them kind of things? I believe it with all of my heart. I wouldn't be in Marysville tonight if I didn't believe it. I believe that. I believe God's given us this world, and what we've got to do is rise up and take it. You know, the Bible didn't just say God give the kingdom of the world to us, but it said the saints of God shall rise up and take the kingdom and possess it forever and ever. What we need to do is rise up and take it. Hallelujah. That little stone that was hewed out of the mountain came rolling down through Babylon, tearing down the kingdom of the world. Old Belshazzar over there was having himself a party. He didn't think he had to respect them holding his people like Daniel.
and he was having himself a party, and he didn't feel like he had to respect the vessels of God, so he said, so let's have a good time. We're going to dance, and we're going to shout and have a good time over here, and we're going to drink our wine. So he reached over there and got him, and he started tampering around with the church. And God let him tamper around with the church for a while. Isn't that right? But after a while, God let a handwriting start on the wall. And the Bible said his joints come loose. And his knees begin to knock. His elbow joints come loose. He began to shake like a leaf in a storm. What was it? He couldn't understand what was going on. He said, isn't any holiness folks around? Somebody said, well, you got a lot of wise men and astrologers here. He said, well, them folks ain't got enough sense to tell me about this. And I want some of the holiness folks. Somebody said, well, Daniel's over there. Let's bring him over here. He ought to know what's going on. Hallelujah! I said you can't learn about God in college. You've got to get a little theology if you want to know about God. Glory to God, you've got to get pure in heart. You can't learn this in school. You've got to get a pure heart. Now, you might learn a lot of good things in school, and it might do you a lot of good. It might help you make an automobile that you can ride in. It might help you to bake a pretty cake. It might help you to build a house to keep the rain off your head. Amen. Might can fix a little plow so you can turn the ground, plant a seed, to have a biscuit. But it won't never do anything for you reaching God. Did you know that? There's a definite distinction between that and the knowledge of God. The Bible said people are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of God or the knowledge of truth. They never come to the knowledge of God. And the Bible said the people perish from the lack of knowledge. It couldn't be worldly knowledge. Because the Bible said in the last days, knowledge shall increase, speaking of worldly knowledge. It couldn't be that. It must be the knowledge of God that they're perishing for. It couldn't be worldly knowledge. Praise God. You love Jesus? Got men sitting in here tonight, some of them I know, that's got college degrees. But they've learned themselves that you don't get this from college. Some of them's been to seminary for a number of years, but they don't get this in college. Hallelujah! There is a God somewhere. You've got to get in touch with God. Daniel said, O king, thou hast got lifted up and thou art weighed in the balances of God and thou art found wanting. And God's going to tear your kingdom down, America. I said, and God's going to tear your kingdom down, America. What you need to do is repent, get right with God. Quit trusting in the president. Quit trusting in congressmen. The Bible said, cursed is the man that leaneth upon the arm of flesh and goeth down to Egypt for his help. You'd be better off with a shotgun on your shoulder if you're going to trust in the arm of flesh. You'd be better to strap a gun on your side if you're going to trust in the arm of flesh. At least you can partly do what you set out to do. But I tell you what, when you give everybody else the guns, and then you trust in the president, and you trust in the congressman, you trust in everybody else, you're going to go down. It's going to take trusting in God. You've got to get in touch with God. If we're going to trust, we better trust with all the trust that we got within us. And we better trust God. If we ain't going to do it that way, we better get everything we can. Jesus said, if you ain't got a sword, you better buy yourself one because you're going to need it. He said, when I leave from here, if you ain't got a sword, said, get yourself a sword because if you ain't with me, he said, you're going to need your sword. That's the way I feel about it. If you ain't going to trust in God, you better get anything you can trust in, from a nuclear bomb to anything you can get a hold of. Hallelujah. Because you're going to need it. You know these little haughty attitudes that we've got? We go around and we say, bless God, you can't tell me what to do. But I want you to know tonight, God's going to tell you what to do. Someday He's going to look at you and say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you. He's going to look at you and tell you on the bed of affliction that you cannot get off of that bed. It don't make any difference what the doctor gives you. The Bible said in that day there'll be no healing medicine. There's hundreds of thousands of people that are rotting in the hospital. They're dying. They're burying them every day. With all the medical research, they still can't do nothing about it. Why? Because God's upset. God's angry. Medicines are good. Medical science is good. You can use it every bit if they turn to God. Give God the glory for everything. But when they begin to stand on their own two feet and say, we've done this and we've done that. Like Nebuchadnezzar, when he walked through that great palace and he looked at all of those things over there and he said, look at what my hands have gotten me. He said, look at this great palace that I've built and look at these great things that I've done. And about that time, God began to speak in the handwriting, so to speak, came on the wall. And the Bible said, God put him out with the beast. Let his nails grow out like claws. Let his hair grow out like feathers. And said, you'll stay there till you give me the glory. Hallelujah. And the man saw the vision, said, cut the tree down, leave the stump, let seven times pass over it, and then I'll let it grow again. 7 years out there in the dew, let it be wet with the dews of heaven. And he was wet with the dews of heaven, and he looked like an animal. But I tell you, after 7 years, God figured he'd had enough. God sent the statesman back out there, and his mind returned to him, and he got up, cut them claws off, cut that hair, walked through that palace, and instead of saying, look what I've done, he walked through there and said, look what God done. Oh, look what God done. And when the Bible speaks of him, said, my servant Nebuchadnezzar. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I tell you, when God gets through with Jimmy Carter and the statesman and the congressman and all the rest of them, they'll be glad to give God the glory. When the bombs start falling and things start bursting and the great skyscrapers start falling, they'll be glad to call on the name of Jesus. And the Bible said they'll throw their money to the bats and they'll run. They'll cry for the mountains to fall upon them and hide them from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Bible said, it shall not be you that speak, but your heavenly Father that speaketh from within you. I wonder if the heavenly Father might be speaking tonight. I wonder if he might be reminding us of something tonight. It could very well be, children, that we need to wake up. You know what? I believe something is about to happen. Something is already happening. I realize that. Being here in Marysville tonight, I'd sure love to be able to preach the revelation of Jesus Christ. Of course, this is the revelation too, old time holiness. This is the launching pad for the great rocket. But I'll tell you what, I'd love to be able to get into the deep mysteries of God and unravel the great mysteries of God as we do sometimes in the anointing and speak of the things of why that we're here in Marysville, Tennessee tonight and what it has to do with in our trips and what God has sent us here for. Oh, let me tell you tonight, preachers, you wake up. Let me tell you, children of God, you wake up tonight because you are down at the end of the trail. The Lord Jesus Christ is fixing to return into the world. Say, well, I've heard that before. I know you've heard it before, but it's fixing to happen. The Lord is fixing to return back into this world, and you'd better wake up and you'd better get ready to meet him. You'd better get ready to meet him. Oh, he says in one place, all you religious people that's rejoicing, saying, come, Jesus, even so, come quickly. He said, why do you say that? Said, it's going to be a dark day for you. Said, it's going to be a gloomy time for you. It's going to be a terrible day of judgment for you. Oh, tonight you want to be sure that you're ready to meet him. Don't make any mistake tonight. The only one that's going to see God is the pure in heart. It's going to have to be the pure in heart. I want you to stand with me tonight. We preached two short sermons here. Last night our sermon was fairly short. Tonight it's fairly short. Prophets of old sometimes came into town on numerous occasions. They didn't set a tent. They just went through the city and said, thus saith the Lord, and then went on their way. Sometimes they stayed a few hours, sometimes they stayed a day or two. And then they were on their way. We're here for a day or two to talk with you. You say, well, Brother Pike, are you saying that you're a prophet? Are you saying that I'm not a prophet? Instead of leaving it to me, we'll leave it to you. Let you make the decision. But there's one thing I am saying. The ministry is here to talk to you about Jesus. The ministry is here because God has set in the church the ministry. Evangelists, prophets, teachers, pastors, and so forth. For the perfection of the faith of the saints of God. We're here to help you tonight. We're helpers of your faith. And we want to do something for you. And I'm willing to do everything I can for you. But there's one thing about it. We're going to have to really look up and get a hold of God. Really look up and get a hold of God. All right. I know that there's some listening here. I know there's some outside listening because last night we had some. And I know that some of these tapes will be going on the radio. I also know that. But I want you to listen tonight. I want you to hear me. The coming of the Lord is at hand. We being here in Marysville tonight has a great spiritual significance. Most of the time in the tent meetings where I go, I don't express to the people what the great spiritual significance of it is. But when I go back home,
When I have a chance to get a little group of people together there that I can talk to confidentially, then I tell them what is happening spiritually. Just remember, everything is at an end. Everything is at an end. Something is taking place tonight. I hope, for your sake, that you're ready. I believe I'm ready tonight. If I felt I wasn't ready, I'd start making preparation before I left this tent. And if you're not ready tonight, you need to get ready. And I tell you something, friend. When you live holy and when you live right, and when you do according to the will of God, some of them are going to put you out of the synagogues because you're going to become a peculiar people, zealous of good works, wanting to do right. And you're going to find a little problem fellowshipping people that want to fellowship the world. You know you have to compromise on every hand today. A person today, to stay with some of the churches, they have to compromise on every hand. This preacher demands that you do this or you become an oddball, as the world says. And everybody wants to mock you. If you want to really live according to the Bible, they say you're going to extremes. You don't need to go that far out that you've got off on the deep end. But if you want to be a lukewarm person that God said He'd spew out of His mouth, they'll say you just exactly what we need, because we need somebody that can be sociable. Somebody that can, as a man told me while I was preaching in Canada, he said, if you want to win souls, Brother Pike, you got to get out there at the bars and drink a little bit with them people and let them know that you're sociable. Take a sociable drink with them. You know, you got to get out there and play a little football with them, and play a little basketball with them, and play a little bit of this with them, and a little bit of that with them. You got to go down the races a little bit with them. Go down to the shoreline and strip off nude a little bit with them. Somebody say, I love Jesus. And then you win them to God, somebody said. Don't you know that you can't win nobody to God like that? You don't have God. When you start painting up like the world, living like the world, acting like the world, talking like the world, going to worldly places, you don't have God. The Bible said if the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father is not there. So then if you have the love of the world in you, you don't have the love of God in you. If you've got to sit under a TV set all the time and watch the filthy things of this world and watch the fleshly things of this world and glutton yourself off of the things that comes that the prodigal refused to have, you don't have God. But brother, if you can get up out of the hog pens of this world and go over to the Father's house and eat at the Father's table, then you're all right. The Bible said in one place, He said, you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Said, all of the tables of God are filled with vomit. That means the churches. See, what is the table of God outside the churches? He said, all of the tables of God are filled with lukewarmness. You know, lukewarmness is what makes you vomit or spew it out of your mouth. He said, all the tables of God are filled with vomit. He said, you can't eat at the table of devils and eat at the table of God. Don't you know you can't go to those games and do all those things in the world and eat at the table of devils and then come in and eat at the table of God? See, all of the table of God are filled with vomit. He said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Oh, children of God, let's get ready. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way. Few there be that find it, but glory to God for them few. Fear not, little flock. Fear not, little flock. I got a kingdom for you. It is thy Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Folks, you might as well get over that thing of thinking that we're going to get out here and convert the world. Somebody said, glory to God, I'm a great evangelist. We got to get out here and convert the world. You're never going to convert the world. We got to get out there and convert the world. Jesus didn't go out there to convert the world. He said, I'm sent to seek and to save that which is lost. He said, not a one of them that my Father has given me shall be lost. I'll raise him up in the last day, every one that he gave me. We're not out there to convert the world. The world's going to hell. The Bible says so. And God's going to burn it up. And the multitude shall be turned into hell. But what we're trying to do is to preach the gospel to the world. Why? Because they have to be guilty before God. If we don't preach the gospel to every creature, they can't be guilty before God. But we've got to do like Paul. Paul preached the gospel and then shook his raiment and said, your blood be upon your own heads. You're not going to listen to me. See, we've got to preach the gospel to them. That's what God told us to do, is go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Isn't that right? But he isn't going to give salvation to everybody. He said, fear not, little flock. It's thy Father's good pleasure. You're the one to have the kingdom. He's gathering the saints of God out. It's those that he's getting together. Praise God. Somebody would say, well, now, if this great multitude in the world can't go, I just feel this little old bunch, you know, that you call them that's going to get the kingdom. I don't guess I need to be with that bunch. I don't guess you need to be with them either, because you're not. If you'd have needed to be with them, you would have been. But it's for sure the way you're thinking that you're not with them, so you don't need to be with them. It's like I told Pat Boone one time. I said, you're numbered with people you're not of. You love Jesus? All right, let's sing a little chorus together, can we? I appreciate your kind attention tonight. I really do. I've enjoyed being here in Marysville. These two nights, I've really enjoyed it. I feel real good about coming. Cost us a lot of money. This meeting will probably cost us something like $3,000 for two nights. Right off the reel, it'll cost me around $1,500. I said, Brother Pike, is that right? I'm not telling you a lie. Just about every meeting we set here like this costs about $3,000 and sometimes more. People that don't work tents don't understand. They don't know. They say, you mean to tell me that? Yes, I mean to tell you that. And to think, see, I've got so many people working with me. And the way a lot of ours work, they don't even charge for it. Some of the boys that set tents that charge for it, it really costs them. Like Marsh Cyril out in California, his advertisement cost him $30,000. Just his advertisement was $30,000. But you know what? I don't mind that. I thank the Lord for his wonderful blessings. If I just got to talk to one person here, just one person, I'm grateful. If I just said something that hoped one person in Marysville, Tennessee, I am thankful to God, because that is all that's important to me. Money is not important to me. God supplies my needs abundantly. It's not important to me. I believe God will meet all my needs. You say, now, Brother Pike, does he meet all of them? He meets all of them, and he meets them abundantly. So I thank God for that. I don't have to worry about that. I've never had to worry about that. Evangelists go through begging and pleading for money. I thank God. Not that I'm any better than any of the rest of them, and I think you ought to give to them, because they need your money. They're trying to preach the gospel. If anybody needs it, you ought to give it to them. But I'm thankful I've not never had to do it. I always went to God, and he supplied my needs abundantly, and I thank God for it. So I've never had to bother anybody in any state or any place. Even when I was over in Germany and down in South America and Israel and different places, I've had my money to give completely out. Didn't have nothing, and still have a great host of people with me. But the ones that was with me can bear record that we went to God, and God miraculously met the needs. Miraculously met the needs. Right down there. In the hard places. In the hard places. Where you can't get nothing. But he done it. And he'll continue to do it. But what we've got to do is believe God. Let's sing this little chorus. They that wait upon my Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and never faint. Teach me, Lord, oh, teach me, Lord, to wait. Can you sing it again? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. Oh, they shall run and not be weary. Oh, they shall walk and never faint. teach me, Lord. Oh, teach me, Lord, to wait. Don't you want to wait on Jesus tonight? Don't you want that heavenly touch tonight? Oh, I tell you, it's nice to have a nice new automobile. I've been fortunate. I've been blessed with a nice new automobile. I know what it is to have the finer things of life. I know what it is to be on the other side and not be able to get bread. And have to live in a car for days and just travel and do without. I know both sides of it. But you got a heavenly treasure in earthen vessels. You got the Holy Ghost on the inside of you everywhere you go. You got that Spirit of the living God inside of you, taking it with you wherever you go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I feel more like shouting. The more I talk about it, the more I feel like shouting. Hallelujah. Just to wait on Him a little bit. Praise God. We're going to sing another chorus. And while we sing the chorus, I want you to search your hearts tonight. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Can you sing it again? For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. While they're playing on the organ tonight, I want you to step out. Gather around the altar tonight. We're closing the meeting. Now I'm going to pray for you. I want to pray for you tonight. I want to ask God to do something for you tonight. Ask God to do something for Marysville tonight. You know, my heart goes out to people around the world. Mothers, daddies, little children that's in Marysville tonight that need Jesus. Precious, darling little hearts that need Jesus. There's people that need a touch from God. And I want to pray tonight while we're here that somehow or another God will do something special to reach down into their hearts and help them find Jesus. And I want you to believe with me, and I want you to pray with me tonight. I want you to lift your hands up tonight with me, will you? Lift your hands up with me tonight. And I want you to pray with me tonight that God will save and God will forgive. That God will heal and God will help tonight. And God will do something special tonight. I pray that God will do it, and I want you tonight to believe with me as we pray. Precious, wonderful Heavenly Father, as I pray tonight in the name of Jesus, Father, your wonderful Son. Oh, Heavenly Father, in the darling name of your lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, may thy Spirit tonight, Father, come down in a magnificent way. And may you heal tonight. May you forgive tonight, Jesus. May thy Spirit, oh God, come down tonight. Father, not only in this tent tonight, but may it go out through Marysville tonight. May people be healed. May people be delivered. May something happen tonight, Jesus. Father, like's never happened before in this town. May they be healed tonight. In the hospitals, may people be healed, Father. May thy Spirit, Father, go into homes and mothers. Father, receive salvation. May fathers
fathers tonight. Oh God, receive the love of God. May little children's hearts burn like fire to know about Jesus. May sick bodies be healed. May people be delivered. May a revival tonight break out in this little city of Marysville. Oh God, and sweep like fire. Oh God, as the minister breaks the bread of life, and as people come alive with great revival of heart. Hallelujah. May something happen, Jesus. God, that will set the flame of fire burning in their hearts tonight. Father, you said you'd make your ministers a flame of fire. May they be made a flame of fire tonight. And may the fire of God break out tonight in every church, Father. In the Methodist church, in the Baptist church, in the Catholic church, Father. In the Pentecostal churches. Lord, in every church, may the Spirit of the living God break out. And may there be a great revival, Father. And may people be filled with thy great Spirit and with the power of the Holy Ghost tonight. Bless these that are under the tent tonight. I ask you to do something special for them tonight. May you heal their bodies, Jesus. May you break the spirit of evil off of them. May the yoke be broken. May everybody be healed tonight. And Father, may the evil powers of darkness be taken away. May the bondage be gone tonight, Heavenly Father. May thy Spirit, O God, come down from heaven in a magnificent way to anoint, to heal, to forgive in the lovely name of Jesus tonight. I ask your blessing upon them. Father, meet their needs tonight. Physical needs, may they be met, Jesus. Their spiritual needs, may they be met, Jesus. Their financial needs tonight, may they be met, Jesus. I ask you to do it in the wonderful name of your Son tonight. I ask you to heal and save and forgive in the lovely name of your wonderful Son, Jesus.
In the rain, Lord.